It's
on
more
a
people
being.
It's more people to. You got to deliver more mail. We're growing too fast.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is,
I get it.
There's no reason you wouldn't just happen to see a truck on a Sunday.
I've seen them.
I know you.
And
have.
I'm like, that guy or gal has a family. What happened to Sundays? No mail.
You don't know that they're working. I don't think.
Oh, they do something else on a Sunday with the company.
I thought
truck.
You meant like you've seen them hanging around the parking lot or something.
Oh, no, no. I've seen them delivers. Dude, I'm coming out. Anyway,
let me tell you.
Our world's different than the 70s. Give me that,
Steiny. Let me tell you something about the United States Postal Service.
Oh, yeah. And I love them.
They are on Mount Underrated More. You are looking at a postal service advocate right here.
Go ahead.
You put 30 whatever cents on something. And you can sit. Come on, man. Come on, man. Hey, the post office.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Postal workers from the mailman, Mr. Jones, that's my mailman.
I didn't know that.
To the people who drive the trucks, to the people who neither wind nor rain nor sleet nor hail nor famines and earthquakes and train wrecks. You'll never hear me say anything bad about United States Postal Service.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Ever. Fillmore Mike, what's up, Fillmore Mike?
Fillmore.
Oh, Guru, man. You going viral, man. It's a good look for you. But my thing
I'll be the judge of that.
We let Mike talk.
I got some advice for you.
Go ahead, baby.
See, I love Simons because Simons is a realist. Some people call him a pessimist. He's not. He's super real. So you really don't have a chance. But if you talk, you better holler at Gary Payton. You better holler at Mario Ellis. You don't have to get in his head mentally. I'm telling you.
Wow, I like that.
You're going to have to get in his head mentally. You're going to have to get. You're going to have to really get to him and get him out of his game, get him out of his element. And when you do score, right? When you do score, because see, Guru, you know how I look. When I hoop, I take my shirt off, so you know I got my man boob showing and everything. But when I score on somebody smaller than me and I cross them over, you know what I say?
What?
I just look like this. I just look like.
Wow.
This.
I thought. Hey, thanks, Fillmore. I thought you were going to say. I go.
Well, look at you.
I don't do that.
I retired it.
I got to tell you, the man's got some great advice. Here's what you should do.
That is,
hire a team of trash talkers to get out in front of it. Like, get Peyton.
Dude, I've never thought of that.
Get Peyton to mention something.
The
like,
best.
So I hear, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, get Peyton to start planting the seed that you just might be able to do it, and that Jordan Bell might be in trouble.
And not to give all my
and
secrets.
Bell, yeah, that, hey, that
not
might
to give
work.
All my secrets,
yeah.
Started just real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
What if I sagged off of him?
Oh,
that's my plan of attack, and then say you ain't got no jumper.
Well, it's funny.
What's
funny is, if you think about those two phrases, you know, sagging back,
yeah,
but that's the way you're attacking, it's kind of, you know, sagging.
No, when he has the ball,
right?
Then I give him that space to shoot the jumper, which...
Yeah.
You know, he ain't Steph. I love you, John.
Right.
But, you know.
If you and Jordan Bell had a shooting contest from the elbows.
Oh, come on, Steiny.
Who would win?
Me. Now I'm being, yeah. You playing now.
And no, I'm not playing, and I can't believe that. Should I just let it here again? Should I just let it here again? Just let it here. All
no,
right.
No, you just.
You know what? Okay, I can't let it here. Guru, let me tell you something. You know, I got McCourt in my backyard.
I've been there.
Yeah, I know.
I've won. Okay, I'm going to stop.
So, you know, I shoot mid-range jumpers, basically, 18, 20-footers. You know what my record is for makes in a row when I work out?
I'm going to get 24.
27.
Damn.
27
right.
In a row.
Okay. Ooh,
right?
Whoa.
That's the best. Made 27 in a row. So sometimes I make 20, 22, 20, 18.
Yeah.
When I'm in one of those streaks, I always smile and laugh and be like, man, I'm the mid-range Steph Curry. I'm Steph Curry mid-range,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then years ago when I was doing this, I'd be like, man, I'm the mid-range Steph Curry, man. You know, I'm the mid-range. And I was like, God, you know, it'd be fun to get Curry out here in my backyard, have a little contest, a little mid-range horse cut. Okay, the point is I took that to its logical conclusion one time. And the logical conclusion is, he'd make a horse's ass out of me in that game.
Wow.
So now when I'm working out in my backyard and I start knocking down 16, 17,
okay,
I say to myself, I wonder if Steph, And I just stop right there because I already know. Let me give you an example.
But Jordan Bell's not Steph.
You're right. He's not. But okay. Let me tell you a couple things.
Help me out now.
Let's say Curry came over to my backyard and said, you know, stop playing horse. Okay?
All right.
You ready for this?
Got you.
He said, you start. I bet you if I made 27 shots in a row to start.
All right.
What would he have? H? Maybe H-O? Even if he's, the worst he's going to go is 24 for 27.
All right.
Okay? That's the worst he's going to go. So the point is, I'll never beat him ever in a million years. Do you realize, and I want to get this verified, and I'm going to try to get this. I know it's verified.
Like Twitter.
No, I know it's verified. I want you to listen to this. Eric Housen, the Golden State Warriors equipment manager. He's been around forever. He used to work out with Chris Mullin back in the day.
They honored him.
You ever see the big ball, the big basketball?
Yeah.
I've seen it. For the listeners out there, there's the regular basketball. It's a regular size. And then they have a basketball that's bigger, a little bit bigger, almost imagine it being a little more like a beach ball.
Yeah, gotcha.
But it still fits in the basket. It's just bigger. Everything's the same. The grip, but it's to really hone in on accuracy.
Okay.
Do you know that Chris Mullin made 33 three-pointers in a row with a big ball? That is the most amazing thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Unbelievable. But your message to me is Jordan Bell with the big ball. That's all.
But
I get that.
But Jordan Bell is going to knock.
He's not known for a jumper is what I'm saying.
Let me tell you something. When you play him in a one-on-one, you're going to find out he's going to be known for he's going to be known for his jumper against you.
That's where you're going.
That's where I'm going.
Right.
That's where I'm going. So, listen, I wish you the best. I really do. But Steve Kerr, let it go, please. Please let it go. At least till the offseason, all right?
I want him to run for office, man.
Okay. Maybe
he's a good guy, and he's got a military background. You get where I'm not the only one saying that.
Not really a military background. His dad was like an ambassador.
Well, he's stronger than military.
But basically unrelated.
Yeah. In the know.
All right.
Yeah.
Mr. Kerr was in the know.
Yeah.
No Draymond Green tonight. Got foot
That's
issues.
Concerning me.
Of course it is.
No, for DPOY.
Oh, well, then you're selfish.
Why would you? This is a guy that had a task of reclaiming what's his. So now, for him to be out, he's super tough, that's all. You know me, I overreact. I'm concerned. And we saw him leave the last two games, Steiny, to the locker room and come back. What could be? Is it a toe? Is it a bone?
I'm not sure.
What's scaring me.
They're describing it as a foot.
So Saturday against Brooklyn.
He's day to day.
If he don't play, you concerned? Because this guy is super tough.
No, I'm not concerned.
He ain't doing the Livingston Iggy thing.
I'm not concerned. My first thought was, wonder how many games you can miss and still be a defensive player of the year candidate. I know Gobert missed a bunch. And you know, that's the other thing that could happen. Let's say Draymond gets hurt for 12 games.
I don't say that, but go ahead.
Let's say just shut him down for 12 games and the Warriors defense goes to hell. Then he comes back. Enhances his shot, I think. You know, when they can say, here's the adjusted with Draymond, here's the adjusted without, and the Warriors are such a better team with or without. Guru, you know that when it comes to Mark Jackson, he's a polarizing figure.
I love him.
You know that there are a lot of people around here that don't like Mark Jackson. There are a lot of people in the Bay Area that pile on Mark Jackson.
I appreciate you saying that.
I try not to. I try to stick to...
It's hard for you, though.
It is hard. But it's not going to be hard anymore. I
can't wait. I
heard Mark Jackson say something last night during the Lakers, Timberwolves game.
Good game.
That was so annoying and so infuriating.
But it was real.
And so hypocritical that I have to share it with the listeners.
Now, back to Stein, Metz, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
What's everybody doing?
A little Santana.
Is that who it is?
I think.
I don't think so. Oh, it is Santana? It's the Narcos theme song, but it didn't sound like Santana. Santana's got the guitar.
Well, who is
it? Unmistakable.
No, he's a bad
guitar.
Man.
I don't know who this is. Neither does Wes.
Wow.
Oh, Santana. Oye, como va? Oh, I mean, let me tell you something. You got a oye, como va in this life. Otherwise, you got nothing. I'm gonna get to my Mark Jackson anecdote in about 15 minutes because we're going to have John Dickinson joining us upcoming shortly. But
JD.
Yeah, I'll get to it. I'll get to it with the thing with Mark Jackson. I'll set it up by saying I do try not to pile on to Mark Jackson, and there's been a lot of stuff with Mark Jackson off the court that I think's been kind of shady that I kind of leave alone.
I forgot that until you just brought it up.
I'll continue to leave it alone. But to me, he said something on the air last night that revealed a lot of his true character. That's all.
He's never told this story.
Apparently not. I'm going to tell it, though. I'm going to retell it. And
right here. Anyway. I got my popcorn.
And we're on to Cincinnati. Anyway, no Draymond Green tonight. Bucks in town, 8-2. You know what? I find myself thinking about going out to Oracle Arena. You tell me, is this wrong? I'm driving out to Oracle Arena. You know what I say to myself now? Just give me a game. Just give me a game.
I say there's not going to be a game.
Just give me a game.
Yeah, go ahead, Steiny. I'm with you. And you know why I know Milwaukee has no chance without Draymond? They lost at Portland.
Oh, my God. You know what's funny? And the fact that Milwaukee lost at Portland gives them a better shot tonight.
Wow, that's how you look at it.
Of course, if they beat Portland two nights ago, right. They come in here with house money.
Like fat rats.
Ain't nobody beats the Warriors playing on house money. You need to be buttoned up.
And speaking of Jordan Bell, do you think this opportunity now that Draymond's not playing? Monty Poole wrote about it.
Maybe.
But they got Jarebko and Looney and...
Here's one thing I was thinking about Jordan Bell. Everybody always, well, what's he doing wrong? How come he's not that good? How come he's not playing? Every time you look at the Warriors, right? How come he's not playing? Not Jordan Bell. How come Jacob Evans is playing? How come this guy's not playing? How come it's like you can't play everybody? And so I really started thinking about Jordan Bell. All right, he shouldn't be playing. Not only shouldn't he be playing, there's no mystery to why he's not playing, and here's why. Who's playing in front of Jordan Bell?
Looney.
Yes.
McKinney.
Let's say Damian Jones.
Okay,
Jones.
That's big.
And Looney.
Yeah, because Kerr said at the parade it was going to be Bell, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, it was. But you know what? Looking back, it was illogical to think that. And here's why. Kevon Looney's in his fourth year. He was hurt his first year in the NBA with a hip. Over that time, he realized how hard he had to work to get back at it. He transformed his body.
No doubt.
Kevon Looney. All right.
Africa Trina helped him.
Then he figured, how do I help this team? Rebound, set screens, don't make mistakes. Kevon Looney's been in the league 4 years now. He's a good, solid role player who understands exactly what he needs to do for the Golden State Warriors. Damian Jones, he's been down at Santa Cruz for 2 years. You know what he's been doing? He's been learning how to play center for the Golden State Warriors, not how to play center, how to play center specifically for the Golden State Warriors. He's been working 2 years at it. And the Warriors look at Damian Jones now and say, you know, this is his third year.
Yep.
He's had two seasons behind him. He knows exactly right now what is expected of him. He's older than Bell. He's got more experience than Bell. It's like, he's more useful than Bell. Now, who do we have with Bell? Second year, raw. We all know he's raw. Athletic. Okay?
Jump out
the
gym.
He's not as refined as those other two players. He's more high risk, all right, than those other two players. And so he's younger than those two players. Also, he hasn't had the opportunity to grow into the five position for as long as those other two guys have had to learn the five position. So all I'm saying, Guru, is
slow down like on somebody, Jordan Bell hasn't like, delivered.
Oh, what's up with Jordan Bell? Why is it? Think about it first. It's absolutely, to me, it's completely and utterly logical, especially if you understand a simple concept that not everybody can play 30 minutes a game.
And they stashed away Damian Jones, and I was, oh, what's going on? And now look. And now Jacob Evans is on his way to Santa Cruz. I get it, Steiny. But it does feel like Bell's been in with the team 5 years, right? Because when he gives you that thunder, who? Jordan Bell, it seems like he's been around forever to me.
Okay. It actually does.
Because when he does it, he has flair to his game.
Well, so what?
I hear you. Like, but people clamor to that and want more of or expect it every time, and he's a young lad.
Okay, so what if I'm saying that if you're one of those people, well, you know, Stein, dunk, you threw it off the back of Chicago. It's like, you know what? That's where sometimes I'm like, yeah, he should be, that's where the, can you say the D word on radio? D word? That's where I can be a D and say like, well, you don't know basketball. And I'm not saying you.
Right.
I'm saying,
oh, you know, I know it.
Then you don't know basketball. If whatever. It's right. Anyway.
He's still young. And my point is what I get from you.
He's absolutely young. And also he was a second round pick. So in other words, he's a young second round pick. Anyway.
No, and somebody here from the 510 said they love Damian Jones, but he's only averaging about 4 rebounds a game. Looney should be starting.
Okay.
I'm just throwing that out. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I just wanted to run that by you.
How has Damian Jones' rebounding impacted the Warriors negatively?
Oh, it hasn't.
Thank you. Does anybody consider for a moment that in this day and age of the NBA, a traditional center doesn't hang around the basket like he used to? Damian Jones is now the guy switched on to James Harden. So guess what? He's not going to get that rebound. So, okay, yeah, we'd like him to rebound more. That's fine. Go get some more rebounds. But quit trying to sell me on it's a problem. Stop it. Offensively, plays at the top of the circle a lot. God, that's the kind of thing I mean. Like, oh, what about his rebounding?
It's not the Patrick Ewing era. You know, 4 rebounds.
I need Dickinson early today.
People wanted to know what was on that paper yesterday.
What paper?
You did tell me.
We got Dickinson?
Yeah. JD.
JD, what's up, my man?
What's going on, guys?
John Dickinson, 95.7 The Game Reporter, on with Steiny and Guru. I want to jump right into sports, and more specifically.
That's a good start.
Yeah, I was thinking, we are a sports talk radio show. Obviously, the Giants, Farhan Zaidi. I don't like to ask open-ended questions like this, but did you get an impression of some kind yesterday?
I got the impression that he doesn't really know what he's going to do, but he has the freedom to basically do anything he wants short of, you know, telling Bruce Bochy, you're gone today. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he can, you know, if he decides he wants to trade Madison Bumgarner, he can do it. He can make a case for that. If he decides he wants to, you know, have a discussion about whether it's beneficial to move Buster Posey to first base and sign a catcher because there's some value in maybe signing a different catcher offensively that could help him, he'd have, you know, the free rein to do it. I mean, it really was the biggest takeaway that everything is on the table, and that he didn't really know exactly how he's going to go about attacking it. The one thing that stood out to me, I think, above everything else, though, too, was just the comment that he made about needing to string together smart baseball decisions. And the one thing he referenced was when the A's picked up Chris Davis. He said when the A's picked up Chris Davis, it really didn't make a whole lot of sense at the time, you know, the A's picking up a player like that when they were rebuilding. But then 2 years later, it makes a ton of sense. And Chris Davis is a major part of what the A's have now. So I think the thing that you have to keep in mind is the first step to this thing, or the first couple of steps, may not totally look like they make sense. Like, what if he goes and he signs a veteran second baseman in the next 2 weeks? And everybody would scratch their head and say, well, why are you signing a veteran second baseman? I thought this was going to be a rebuild. But the reality is, he might sign a veteran second baseman and then still do other things that make it look like a rebuild. All of it would be on the table. It's not Belt, Crawford, Bumgarner, everybody has to go, or you got to sign Jed Lowry and a bunch of veterans, you know, to fill out the roster and keep everybody. It's going to be a combination of both.
Yeah, and that's always the thing, like, not philosophically, but I always find very interesting is people are probably thinking, well, does this guy have a plan? Well, yeah, he's got a plan to probably get younger, to get more talent up and down his baseball organization, but he doesn't have seven deals on the table right now for different players. And even if he does, maybe all seven of those right now, he's saying that's not enough.
Right. And I think, look, I asked him yesterday at the end of the press conference, I said, well, what do you like about this roster and what do you think this roster needs? And his answer was interesting to me because he said he liked, in essence, the spirit that they played with, the way that they play. And he kind of gave a general overall, you know, culture answer. Like he liked the culture in a way, but then more specifically, he said the bullpen. He likes the bullpen. Thinks there's some pieces there. Likes the, you know, some of the young starting pitching. Thinks there's some pitchers in the minor league system. He didn't say a word about the offense. So what that told me was, hey, and it's an obvious point, but you got to figure out a way to get some offense. He also said he feels they need to become younger and more athletic to help, you know, kind of coincide with that spirit and maybe the baseball values that the Giants have been playing with, just lacking talent these last couple of years. To your point, Steiny, and what you're saying is, look, if the Giants right now, you could make a case they need three outfielders, right? Well, is the best way to do that to go sign one, trade for one, and you know, develop one? You know, that may very well be the case, but it also may be a matter of he might say, I can trade Madison Bumgarner for an outfielder and a second baseman, and based on the analytics and based on the cost of certain starting pitchers, I can go sign a veteran starting pitcher that can, you know, do just as well maybe in the regular season as a lot of the starting pitchers on the roster, and having an ace isn't as important. Because here's the thing. What's Madison Bumgarner, to bring it back to him, what's his greatest skill? I'll ask you guys, what's Madison Bumgarner's greatest skill right now, his greatest asset?
Well, right now, I'd say eating innings.
Well, I would say the remaining potential for dominance.
Okay. See, to me, his greatest skill is what he would bring to a team in the postseason. So to me, as a regular season pitcher, he's really good, but he's a lesser one, or maybe even a really, really great number two at this point. So the reality for me is, and I think, you know, Farhan Zaidi may look at it this way, the greatest value for Madison Bumgarner is a team that knows they're going to make it to the postseason already, but needs to get over the hump. So to me, when you start to identify, well, who are the kinds of teams that maybe there would be, you know, a deal in place for, that's where his value is. You could, the Giants, if Bumgarner's biggest thing is the playoffs, well, the Giants have to figure out how to get to the playoffs first. So his value to them may not be as great because they're far enough away from even getting to that point.
So that's a great point, JD.
JD, after watching the Oakland Athletics last year, I'm done saying I think I know what a team is in regard to predicting victories or whatnot. But you look at this Giant team as is. Let's say Posey comes back healthy. They're healthy as is. Not much movement. How do you look at this Giant team? Are they just on the fast track to 100 losses, or do you think somehow miraculously healthy they could somehow compete? Because to me, the word on the street is, oh, they're going to lose 100 games.
This team, you're saying Posey at catcher, Belt at first, Crawford at short, Longoria third, Panic second. Who knows in the outfield? Duggar and a couple of young guys. That team stinks. That team's not good. That team's a 75 win team, 76 win team max. That team is, and that's even with Derek Rodriguez being good again, and Suarez, and everybody I know has a, you know, everybody loves their young pitching and all that. You know, I think we still need to see whether that was for real or not. Some of those guys next season. No, that the team that they have currently is not good enough. And look, this goes back to something that we talked about a good portion of 2018. You can have Brandon Crawford and Buster Posey and Brandon Belt on your team, but in order to have them on your team, the other hitters in your lineup have to be significantly better. You know,
right.
Brandon Crawford would be great if Yasiel Puig was the right fielder, and you look up and Cody Bellinger was the center fielder, and Chris Davis was the left fielder, assuming Chris Davis could throw and play defense. But my point is, look at the lineups on the teams in the playoffs. Look at the Red Sox lineup. What do you hear about when you watch the World Series? The Dodgers lineup, the Brewers lineup, all these teams that went deep, the Astros in the championship series, the Yankees, the A's, they're deep. They're lineups that top to bottom have guys that can hit it out of the park, guys that can move the order around. It's deep offenses. You can't get away with having four or five guys in your lineup that can hit. You need seven or eight guys in your lineup that can hit.
All right, well, hey, JD, well, let me ask you this, and we'll finish it up with this. If depth is a significant issue and it's what they want to build up, that allows you to quote unquote platoon or play that situational baseball. And there are a lot of people that just watched the Dodgers in the World Series and was like, oh man, that didn't work. Can you kind of speak to that a little bit?
Well, it worked in that it got them into the World Series. It worked that it got them to a division championship. Look, I think it's two different things. That's one of the other things, Farhan Zaidi and Larry Bear, they had side sessions, little quieter sessions after the press conference. And one of the questions I asked Farhan about was power, the need for power, because I do think you bring up a good point about depth, too, and he kind of referenced that a little bit in the main portion of the press conference. But he said, well, it's funny. I mean, you ask about power, and he says, well, down in L.A., we end up losing the World Series in five games, and down in L.A., some of the conversation is, well, you're too focused on launch angles and power and all of those kinds of things, and you needed to make more contact. You needed to put the ball in play in certain scenarios. So the point is, I think when you have one thing and you don't get over the hump, everybody tends to look at what you don't have. The one thing he did say in the press conference about depth is in today's day and age, you got to have a 25-man roster where everybody can play. And I actually think it even goes beyond a 25-man roster. You got to have the 25-man roster and probably 8-10 other players that you can count on at AAA that you can just shuffle up and down throughout the course of the season. Send them to AAA, bring them up, send them down. Look at the A's at the end of the year. The A's at the end of the year had 39 players of their 40-man roster in September when rosters expand. They had 39 of their 40 players on the roster. The Dodgers had all 40. At one point, they were using every single guy on their 40-man roster was up and was with the team. Why? Because they all had a purpose. And to your point about platooning, I think that's a big part of it. If you can find some guys that hit lefties extremely well, then you want them on the roster. If you have some guys that crush righties, you want those guys on the roster. And that's what adds to the depth that creates that 25-man roster. And that's what beats especially mediocre and bad pitching during the regular season. Now, to what you're saying about the playoff, once you get to the playoffs, that's where I think having a guy like Bruce Bochy around and in the mix, because he has such a good feel for how to run a game, that's when there may be some difficult conversations. But as far as all the analytics and the platoons and this guy and that guy and matchups and what you do with the lineup, I'm telling you, Bruce Bochy just wants good players. If you're telling Bruce Bochy he's got to bench a 30-home run hitter in June for a game or two, I think Bruce Bochy's going to love to have that problem because it means he's going to have a 30-home run hitter on his roster, which he hasn't had ever, going back to Barry Bonds, basically. So, I'll just kind of wrap it up, the point there. There's a lot of different ways to go about doing it, but the Giants, I think, know they have to get significantly better.
JD, thank you so much. Great stuff, and we will see you at Oracle Arena tonight.
Yeah, all right. Looking forward to it, guys.
Yeah, it should be a fun one. Thanks, JD.
You got it.
Hopefully we'll have a ball game over there tonight.
Yeah, no Draymond. I'm sure Giannis is happy. And remember, KD last year got threw out in the game against Giannis.
I don't remember.
You don't remember? It was a nationally televised game in like 30 seconds, KD. Some people say, oh, KD didn't want none. He got mad and threw out.
Like this, as frequently happens, now it's like, yeah, I have a vague recollection of that. All right, so should I get to my Mark Jackson?
Oh, yeah. Because I had a Zaidi fun fact. I'll give it to you later.
Give it to me, because I'd rather hear it now than in the
Dodgers
middle of
Dodgers had
my
a clubhouse league
Jackson.
Fantasy football team, and Zaidi won 3 years in a row. So they were mad that he left, and where he left too, that he got 5 trade offers last night and was trying to get something for nothing.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So he's smart.
All right, Mark Jackson used to be the coach of the Golden State Warriors, and he's a polarizing figure. And he talks a lot about leadership, and he's got a lot of answers to everything. And I was somebody who covered him for a couple years, and he was an interesting guy. Let's just put it that way. I thought that there were times in his coaching. What, one more time, Wes? Yeah, I will. Well, I will do. I just thought there were times with Mark where he was arrogant and he was incapable of seeing another side of a story. Anyway, I'm watching the Lakers game against the Timberwolves on ESPN last night, and here's what I'm hearing from Mark Jackson.
Would Jimmy Butler tolerate Jimmy Butler as a teammate the way he behaved early on?
And what do you think the answer is?
The answer is absolutely not. I'll tell you a story. I was a junior in college. I broke the NCAA record in assists. The player of the year was Walter Berry on my own team. Won the Wooden Award.
Oh!
My goodness. Sorry for the interruption. Interrupt me any time with that. But he won the Wooden Award. After the 5th game of the season, we did not speak. He was mad at me. We played 30 games and did not speak. I threw lob passes, dimes down the lane. He won the Wooden Award. We didn't speak. It impacted us, no question about it. And I love him today. That's a story that I did not share.
See, this is the kind of thing about Mark Jackson that really, to me, brings out something that is so hypocritical that I have to bring it up. And it's this. So he's talking about Jimmy Butler, who's not happy right now in Minnesota, and how some of what he's doing is impacting the team negatively. And Mark Jackson's going to talk about, Jimmy Butler wouldn't tolerate this Jimmy Butler as a leader. All right. So then he goes on to tell this story. First of all, let me tell you something about Walter Berry.
He wasn't just
the best player on St. John's that year. He was the best player in the country. Walter Berry was the best player in the country. So Mark Jackson's a point guard and a leader. All right? Or however he says it.
Man down.
Whatever he says. And you got to show leadership and you got to do this and that. Okay. So you're the point guard of a team vying for a national title, and you're sitting with a player like Walter Berry, and Walter Berry is not talking to you, all right? And you're the point guard, and you let that happen for 30 games? What are you? Oh, that's leadership. That is, how is that leadership? You tell me how Mark Jackson can tell that story and let it there.
It blew me away.
And let it there without answering the next question. Well, why didn't you go say something to Walter Berry and find out what the hell was going on?
And you would have thought it had a happy ending.
For 30 games.
Yeah. You would have thought it had a happy ending after he compared it to Butler.
It didn't have a happy ending.
I understand.
It ended in the second round against Auburn with Mark Jackson going 1-for-8 from the floor.
You think he wants that back, that story? And when the juncture he told it? Dude, you just told on yourself. I love me some Mark, but that I was watching the game and heard it.
I can see it. I can see it. I know what happened. Walter Berry probably saw right through all Mark Jackson's stuff. You know it, and I know it. I'll just leave it at stuff, all right? And here's the other thing. Walter Berry's nickname was The Truth. That's another reason why Jackson probably has a problem with him.
30 games. It's collegiate.
The funny thing is, Goo, like, and I do relate stuff to myself, all right? About, I had my little Division III career, all right? If I were playing with the best Division III player in the country, and I was the point guard, and I knew he didn't like me or had a problem with me.
We got to chop it up.
For the sake of the team, you must address that. He never did, apparently. And you know why?
And probably, how do they love each other?
They don't love each other.
Because he said, I love him to this day. I'm like, conversation?
And that's the other thing that bothered me. He made it sound like Walter Berry is like, Walter wasn't a great guy. Oh, really?
Wow.
So it was like, I need a follow-up. I need a follow-up question. Mark, as the leader of the team, why didn't you address it? What could his answer be? Well, I tried to address it a few times. Walter just didn't like me. All right, well, then tell that story. Then say you tried. But the way
you wouldn't even be heated now then.
No, the way I heard it was clearly Mark Jackson was incapable of seeing whatever it was that was bothering Walter Berry, or incapable of examining himself in any way where he might have to face the facts that, maybe I might not be in the right.
And then there he is.
So to me,
critiquing Jimmy Butler. That was the whole
Steiny
hypocritical thing.
You told a story last year about you alienating a teammate who was younger than you. You're absolutely right. I was, in my little world, I wasn't a great teammate. Like, I can look at myself and say that. Mark Jackson gets on TV talking about leadership, talking about what you have to do, talk about being honest. He's got to be, I'd be honest with Jimmy Butler. No, you wouldn't. You weren't honest with Walter Berry.
We got to get Walter on the show.
Anyway, I can't, you know what's funny? That's it. That's the kind of thing that works me up.
And all he had
it just did.
Did you guys ever hash it out? But he did throw in there, I love the guy, as if you told the story like you guys fixed it. Love you, Mark.
You ever hear Chris Mullin ever say a bad word about Walter Berry? I didn't. You know why?
He was the truth.
That's right. That's right. Anyway, sorry. Listen.
I was watching the game, solo dolo, and I heard that
all right, I'm done.
You
I'm
want
done
it with back, that. Mark.
I'm done with
you
it.
You want it back.
I'm done.
People want to know what was on the paper.
Oh, yes. So yesterday a piece of paper was handed to me, and it distracted me, and I said, I'm not dealing with
it. It really did.
It was what they call a live read.
Oh, you told me.
Well, yeah. And I apologize to
I'm all
it. So I was handed a piece of paper. I didn't think it was a live read. I thought it was, hey, go into the other studio. You have to tape this
right
after the show. And so, it was about 10 of, and I was like, or whatever, fifth quarter. I was like, oh, come on. I would have done this before,
A lot of people agreeing with you. They call it bad leadership.
It is bad leadership. It's pitiful leadership. It's pathetic leadership. And you know why? Because I know a little thing or two about pathetic leadership, even in my little Division III world. You know why? Because
Breen thought when he heard it, because
he Breen was like, whoa.
Yeah, right. He appreciated the story, but I know there was some follow-up questions like, dude, you didn't, man.
By the way, just Walter Berry, just for the record, 30 out of 36 games that year for St. John's, he led them in scoring and or rebounding.
He was a bad dude.
All right. Actually, I left a little more time. I wanted to kind of ride off into the sunset after that one.
No, you were heated. We call that heated. Get it off your chest.
You know, the nice thing is, yeah, get heated, and then I can walk out of here.
Ellie
today.
Just text me back.
Let me just, the beauty of I guess me is I won't give Mark Jackson another thought today after I leave the studio. But right now I'm thinking of him. Walter Berry, you're playing with the best player in college basketball. You have a chance. you have a chance for the big prize. You have a chance. You have a chance to win it all. You're sitting with Walter Berry, the Wooden Award winner. Okay. I would have gone and said, Walt, what's up? Yo, Walt, what's going on? What can I do? Nah, you know what? Be aloof. Be above it all. Think you're above it all.
Look at you, Steiny.
All right. How do you think Durant's going to... How do you think the Warriors are going to defend Giannis tonight?
I was thinking about that. Clay gets the first shot. How about that? Not Durant.
Well, you know what's interesting is...
I got to be honest. You know, Monte and Papa, when they had KD and he talked about how he doesn't get his love for his defense, I would love to see KD on Giannis from the jump.
I mean, that's the thing, though. Nobody covers anybody all game.
But make me feel like it's back in the day. I got him.
I mean, I get it. But my take would be we will see at various times Clay, Durant, Looney, maybe Jordan Bell. Who else could guard him?
McKinney.
Iguodala.
What about McKinney?
McKinney? Sure. Absolutely. So I think it'll still be a consensus. So
we'll Mario see. Rio said call him, but we're running out of time.
Like right now?
Oh yeah, they're calling him right now.
Hey, we got how many? 11:54. We have three plus minutes.
The whole premise is, can I score? Don't Huey Brown.
No, I'm not doing a pre-record. No, I'm not doing that. If you either get him on the phone right now.
Yeah. Or, who said pre-record?
Or we'll do it some other time.
Yeah, exactly. No harm, no foul. Did they say pre-record?
Yeah, so in other words, they want us to lose what's going on. Hey, Mario.
I don't say much often. I would have said no to that one. I didn't hear you.
Hey, come on.
You're ad-libbing.
Hey, Curly, come on, man. You're a big boy producer. Get him on the phone.
I got to get him a number.
You're down to 2 minutes. You got the number right in front. Oh, look at him. He's giving the old cut.
Oh,
I don't know if he's saying Steiny.
Omaha. That's
Steiny
Omaha.
Quit giving me grief or... We don't have enough time. It's two... Now, well, now we...
Yeah, right.
We have 2 minutes. We need one brief scouting report. We got 90 seconds now. All right, save him for tomorrow.
Save him for tomorrow.
Let me tell you something. Mario Ellie knows how to deliver...
The kiss of death.
...with little time on the clock. Yeah. Mario Ellie would have been fine in the last 2 minutes. He would have given us... everything, including the kisses.
You love my question. Scale on a 1 to 10. How shocked are you at the attention McKinney's gotten? Like, how surprised are you that he's not a phenom.
But of
at
course,
his age.
Well, there's a. You asked me how surprised I was about the attention he's getting.
Yeah,
zero. Because what you realize now is you're the Golden State Warriors. No. Everybody gets shine. What are you going to do, write the 78th feature on Steph Curry?
Anybody come to mind that he reminds you of at this juncture in their career?
I want to see more of them.
Oh, wow. I got it.
Yeah, I haven't.
But there's nothing fluke. Like, basketball is, you can see he has it all. Not stardom, but where's he going to go? Well, he would have to be middle. He's still going to be long.
Honestly, you could say.
Hops.
You could say he's where he's going to be. He's 26. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing that maybe some people are missing. He's not 21 coming into the league. Huh? Holy cow. I mean, this guy's been around. He's now 26.
And I think it's helping him, Steiny.
I'm just saying, maybe he's going to be a great player. All I'm saying is there's a reason why at 26 he's in this position. And like, I don't even mean that to denigrate.
No doubt.
I'm just saying let's say he emerges.
Saw his basketball mortality in his face. I think he's like, he can't believe he's here. If that makes sense. Like, he didn't think it was going to happen like this. That's all. And I think he's using that to, like, I'm playing with house money.
510. Walter Berry didn't last in the NBA because of his attitude. That's the point. You don't know what you're talking about. You got no clue, 510. He played 2 years in the NBA. He actually put up not bad numbers for the San Antonio Spurs. And he played overseas his entire career. He was a star overseas. It was just his thing. Nice try. Nice try. Pick up court. I got the first pick. I'm looking at Mark Jackson and Walter Berry, please.
Hey, Greg Pop.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.